Welcome to the weekly Africa report. As conspiracy theorists arise, a world where humans are implanted with microchips via COVID vaccine, and Bill Gates' Windows has the power via 5G to program the microchip to receive any virus and have total control over humanity. I am writing that book, and it's going to be a bestseller, Conspiracy Theories. But in this week's Africa Report, we look at the following. Ramaphosa's envoys to Zimbabwe snub opposition leaders after meeting Mnangagwa. Oh boy. Egyptians vote for a revived upper house of parliament, which has no powers. Mali protests continue despite regional mediation efforts. And online for comment, as always, is political science lecturer at Chrisma University in Zambia, Dr. Charles Moyo, and you can get him at www.afrocodemocracyjournal.com. Dr. Charles Moyo, welcome.
Thank you, my grand.
What I find interesting, and I'm deeply disappointed by this, why would our president send envoys to Zimbabwe but not talk to the opposition leaders? Because surely what's going on in Zimbabwe is about opposition to Mnangagwa more than anything else. What is your feeling?
Yes, it's really sad indeed. You know, the snapping of opposition parties and civic society organizations by the president of South Africa's envoys, smacks of bias and a partisan foreign policy by the ANC. But it is important to note that this approach by South Africa is not new. It reached its crescendo during the Mbeki era. Remember when he chose his notorious quiet diplomats and even boldly stated that there was no crisis in Zimbabwe when the country, you know, was at the peak of its crisis. Yeah, so the situation in Zimbabwe has sharply deteriorated. The economy has crumbled. The health system is in tatters. People are dying of COVID-19, and the levels of state brutality are alarming.
No, absolutely. So this is
So this is when the ANC is choosing, you know, this partisan approach, which is quite sad. But the ANC is not the only party, you know, that is siding with ZANU-PF. Almost all liberation movements in Africa are siding with the Mnangagwa administration. But President Ramaphosa, as the head, you know, of state in South Africa and chairperson of the African Union, should show leadership before the situation in Zimbabwe implodes and affects the whole region.
Yeah, look, I mean, maybe I can say it more bluntly than you, but I think South African government has missed the boat here big time. I personally have seen how biased our current government is towards the ZANU-PF. Yes, as you say, we can understand it. But I think the time to be loyal to parties that supported you during the struggle a long time ago are gone, because what we are dealing with now are the survival not only of people in South Africa, but people in Zimbabwe and even people in Zambia. We need to get down to the business of ruling our countries.
Yes, yes. It's actually a humanitarian crisis that has already, you know, unfolded. So it's really sad for them to, you know, to adopt. This looks like, you know, the continuation of that quiet diplomacy by Thabo Mbeki that I referred to. It's time for bold decisions, for bold steps. It's a time, you know, to go for principles and not, you know, principles. It is not about supporting friends. I understand President Mnangagwa is very close to the President of South Africa, but that should not, you know, or come first before the livelihoods of the people of Zimbabwe.
Absolutely. In fact, I can remember in the old days, soft diplomacy used to be called yes, boss. when President Robert Mugabe used to treat Thabo Mbeki like a little boy, because he felt Thabo Mbeki was much younger than him and that he was the senior man in the room. But, yeah, where do you think Zimbabwe goes from here? Because the crisis is just getting worse and worse and worse, and while the politicians play, the people are literally starving.
Yes, the people are starving, and this is the time, you know, for our regional organization to actually intervene and find a lasting and sustainable solution. We, you know, this issue of piecemeal solutions, it doesn't work. Thabo Mbeki came, you know, there was that power-sharing deal that was signed, and then an inclusive government followed. But that didn't solve, you know, it was not a sustainable solution. As soon as, you know, the lifespan of that government ended, you know, we went back to square one. Now that Mugabe is gone, people thought that maybe Mnangagwa was going to do things different. But alas, you know, he's continuing, you know, on the same path of destruction.
Indeed. Let's move on to Egypt. Interesting, Egyptians are voting. I don't know how many Egyptians are going to vote for this. A revived upper house of parliament, which actually can't really pass any laws. It's just almost like a body that is symbolic more than anything else.
It's symbolic, and it's a, you know, a replacement of that Shura Council that was dissolved in 2014. So this is an advisory board that is largely symbolic, as you say. It has limited, you know, powers. It doesn't have any political significance. And it's most likely that, you know, President El-Sisi is going to choose, you know, his cronies to fill up some of the positions, because I think there are 300 positions that are going to the Senate, it constitutes of 300 members, and out of those 300, President El-Sisi is going to choose 100. So he's most likely to choose people that are loyal to him, you know, to strengthen his grip on power and his political patronage network. But, you know, this Senate is a waste of taxpayers' money, considering its symbolic status. And, you know, the vote is being held against the backdrop of the coronavirus pandemic, which is risking, you know, the lives of the Egyptians. So it's very unfortunate. There are so many pressing things in Egypt, pressing issues, I mean, in Egypt, that the president should focus on rather than endangering the lives of the Egyptians.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is interesting. The reports coming out of Egypt, they're just saying that Sisi is just going to use this council, which was the Shura Council, which he dissolved in 2014, the upper house of parliament, just to pay back his friends. 300 people can ride the gravy train.
Yes, yes. It's most likely that he's going to pick his loyalists, and most likely people with, you know, a military, you know, background, you know, or should I say security background from all arms of the security apparatus in Egypt. And that way he's going to, you know, to strengthen his stronghold or stranglehold on power.
It's certainly, it's not a very satisfactory situation, is it? Our final story today, Mali protests continue, regional mediation efforts not succeeding. Mali is not a very happy place right now.
It is not, yes. Protesters have rejected, you know, ECOWAS plan for an inclusive government and demanded that to be the president resigns, president, you know, Keita. So the people of Mali are very clear, and they've rejected the president, as evidenced by the sustained protest. And it's important to note that the protest movement is inclusive, as it constitutes members of the opposition, religious leaders, and youth, you know, movements. This shows that the people of Mali have spoken in unison, and the President Keita should be hit their call by stepping down. He should step down to pave way for a transitional government in Mali that will restore peace and stability in the country. And, you know, if you look at President Keita, he's at his advanced stage. So for the sake of his health, you know, and his legacy, it will be good for him to step aside and pave way for peace and stability in the country.
Absolutely,
the challenge,
yes.
You know, in Africa, with some African leaders, is that it is not in their DNA to hand over power to civilian authorities.
No, absolutely. And President Keita, as you say, he's already got one foot in the grave. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Dr. Charles Moyo, political science lecturer at Chrisma University in Zambia. You can follow his stories at www.afrodemocracyjournal.com. Dr. Charles Moyo, we'll chat same time next week, different topics.
My pleasure.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.